Today's episode of the Sacktown Royalty Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want.
It's the Sacktown Royalty Show. Here's your host, Greg Wissinger.
Welcome to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I'm your host, Greg Wissinger. Excited to be back from my long hiatus and welcoming back a good old friend, Scott Moak. How you doing, Scott?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks for having me back. I would have thought I made plenty of enemies the last time I was on. So, like, I'm actually shocked I got the invite back.
Well, you know what? I was looking into it because I was like, man, it's been a little while since we had Scott on. I wonder how long it's been. It has been 2 years and 3 days from the time we are recording this since you
on
the show.
That's insane. That's good. And what's crazy is that it seems like just not long ago. So that is insane how much time has passed. We virtually built an entire arena in that time. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, a year from now, you're going to be getting ready to, you know, call games in our brand new arena. I mean, it's insane stuff.
It's nuts. I mean, I know you don't have as much. You see it via picture, which are obviously great, and people do a good job at capturing the progress. But I mean, man, to see that thing in real time, from day to day, walking by it or being in meetings nearby, where you can see the cranes moving metal, seeing the workers down there putting up siding. I mean, it is incredible how fast it's moving. And I feel like with every pane of glass and piece of steel, like, it gets more and more real. Like, it's crazy to think that, like, this time next year, it's like, all we're going to be talking about is, like, what that building looks like and who's going to be opening it up and who's going to, what the Kings are going to look like at that time. It's just crazy to think that that's going to be so much of the narrative at this time next year. It's so exciting.
And it's easy to get caught up because it really feels like Kings fans have really moved past kind of all the novelty of new ownership now. And even though we do have the new arena coming, it's still another year away. But I went back and I was listening to our previous podcast together, and we were still talking about people waiting for shovels in the ground before they would relax. And now it's like there's this massive building being built downtown.
Yeah, like there's no denying now. I mean, unless they're going to convert that thing into a giant in and out at the last minute. Like, I don't know. You're a believer now, boy, when you see, you know, what's been done in such a quick amount of time and seeing it take shape and starting to really truly imagine what that whole, and again, not just the plaza or not just the arena, but the plaza, like everything around it, the hotel to the mixed use, the restaurants and bars and everything else. It's just going to be, you know, activated 365 days a year. It's going to be an amazing place to go down to and meet up and meet friends and connect with family and other Kings fans on game nights and concert goers on concert nights. It's going to change Sacramento and it's going to change the region in many cases, because people are going to have this destination in their downtown that they get to go to and look forward to going to.
Now, as nice as all that sounds, you've kind of planted the idea now, and I kind of hope they do pull the switcheroo and just make it the world's largest In-N-Out.
Can you imagine the size of the double doubles that could come out of that joint? I mean,
I don't think there'd be any complaints. I say we just go with it. You know, you're a connected man. Just float the idea up the chain, you know, and yeah.
We'll see what we can do. If they can be a partner, we'll see what we can do.
Oh, so although it's been a while since we've had you on the show, you've still been kind of an integral part of the show behind the scenes, because I still hit you up all the time to correctly pronounce names. So,
yes.
I also wanted to check in with you because we've got some new names, and, you know, not all of them are necessarily tricky this time around, but we've got a lot of new names on this roster now.
Yes, the roster has certainly changed over, and you know, I'm as a fan, as an employee for sure, but as a fan, more than anything, excited to see how this all plays out with this with the composition of this team. I think it'll be fun to watch. But I mean, absolutely, as far as the you know, I'm a stickler for wanting to say it crazy on the state of things, right? But I probably should say the names right, too, because that is my job, after all. But with Costa Kufis and Marco Bellinelli and Rajon Rondo, that's the one that actually I probably hear pronounced incorrectly more than any other. A lot of people like Rajon, or I guess the way to think about it is, and how I've been told, and by not just Boston, I even checked in with some of the guys from Boston, and it is really just equal emphasis on Ra and John, and you just say them kind of the same. So Rajon, like, it's just the same. A couple new names in there. Karan, we're not gonna have any problem with that awesome guy. What they've been able to do in terms of just connecting with each other over the summer. I mean, Omri's trip where he went, you know, and took a bunch of guys to Israel. And just the connections that they've been able to form in the off season. Like, you know, it's easy for me to be nostalgic. Like, I know many of us longtime Kings fans are. We reminisce on the golden years and the 2002s, 3s, 4s, 5s. But boy, some of the things that are happening right now between these guys is so reminiscent of back then. And, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there is something special happening. And you can see it on social media. You can see it on Twitter. You see it with those guys, how they're interacting with each other. But you also can see it, you know, from the vantage point that I'm lucky enough to sit in, where I work there every day, and I see some of these guys rolling in. I see them connecting with each other and interacting with each other. And it's, there's just something special happening. And I can't wait to see how that then translates over to Kings basketball come October 28th.
So I know you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but what I'm hearing is that you are confidently saying you'll be announcing a playoff game this year, right?
No, I mean, I've lined up the parade already. The championship that I've been sitting in my office at Sleep Train Arena cutting ticker tape for the last like 4 months. So I'm like totally ready. I'm ready to do the downtown parade for sure.
Now there's also the reminiscence of those old teams, because we've got like half of that roster working for the Kings now.
Right. Yeah. No, right. I mean, look, when Vlade came in and, you know, I think we all were able to observe firsthand what he was trying to do and the changes he was trying to make, and a lot of that's just what comes second nature to him. He is one of the best leaders that you could ever ask for. Any business, sports, non-sports, the guy is just a leader and people want to follow him. And he has made remarkable relationships over the course of his, not just career, I mean, his playing career, certainly, but his life. I mean, he has formed some incredibly strong relationships with people, and smart people, and people who see the world and share values that he has. And so, yeah, I mean, seeing some of these guys, Peja and others, coming back, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, it's certainly fun to make some of the, he's bringing, getting the band together joke. But, I mean, you know, these are guys that hold a special place in his life story as a professional and as a basketball player, and knowing that they are smart and are valuable contributors to what he's trying to do both on and off the court. I mean, the vibe that's being created and the culture that's being created it's also following that same pattern that I mentioned a minute ago around, it's just different. You can tell there's just a different thing happening. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch Vlade work over the next season and 2 seasons and 5 seasons to see what's possible. I love the return of Peja for our organization. for me personally, obviously working on the community side with him coming in the role he comes in, and I actually am going to have a chance to work pretty closely with him. He's already hired a guy named Drake Yu, who is a local kid, been playing in, he was playing professionally in Australia. Awesome guy, totally gets it. Like, just, he knows what needs to happen. He's already got his marching orders on what kind of vibe and culture those guys want to happen with the Kings. And I mean, all, you know, so many of these people that are coming in now are, they're amazing people. They're smart, they're talented, they're driven, and they just do things the right way. And having more people like that in our organization is just not a bad thing.
Now that sounds like a pretty good recipe for success. You've sold me. I'll start mailing you envelopes full of ticker tape that I've cut to try to lessen your burden.
I'm using the shiny glittery. I'm using shiny. I know there's a couple different schools of thought. I'm using the really shiny metallic glittery kind. So if you want to, you don't want to stick on that, you can. But you can also go outside. You know, if you want to cut some purple and black and whatever. I mean, you can go. Feel free. I mean, you know, just challenge yourself.
Would it be helpful if everyone listening to the show mailed you large envelopes of ticker tape that they'd cut up to Scott Moak, care of the Sacramento Kings?
Well, I'll put it in a good, I will save it for that special day. That's for darn sure. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, man. Things are moving in the right direction. I don't know if we should, you know, again, be in all seriousness, be planning the route, but we are on a path that is, it's the route for sure for this organization to get us back where we need to be.
Hey, that's good enough for me for right now. I mean, we spent so long supporting a team that had no path, let alone the right path. And so,
right.
I mean, just how far we've come in a few short years, it's
right.
Amazing. So it's been a couple of years since I picked your brain for just some stories from the sidelines. Because you get a view of games and insights into conversations and things that are happening that most of us will never get. So,
yeah,
there's a
that
lot.
That's very true.
There's
I,
a lot
even,
to
I,
pick
I
from.
Even catch, yeah, I there's where I even catch giant, you know, 7-foot centers from Kentucky for the Kings flying over the scorer's table and landing in my lap. I think that happened from the time we spoke and to now. So that was quite wild. One, something I will never forget for sure.
Yeah. Have you recovered, you know, mentally and physically from that experience?
I don't know if you can actually, I mean, like, seriously, I feel like I'm not going as far as saying I have like post-traumatic DeMarcus syndrome, but like like he's a huge man. I mean, he's enormous.
DMC.
Yeah, exactly. He's pissed. And so him coming at a full clip, you know, right at me and you know, just going over the top of the table. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff right in front of me, between electronics. I mean, there's a random cup of coffee. There's microphones. There's like just tons of things. So yeah, with him coming over, I do my best to just give him a soft spot to land. He does have a soft spot in my heart for him. So I tried to do the best I could, but I don't know. I when he, you know, when any player is racing towards the sideline and looking as if it could possibly happen where they want to play out and sacrifice their body to save a ball, we definitely go into the market protection mode for sure. Where I you go on high alert.
So what's your favorite, let's go with opposing teams as opposed to the Kings themselves. What's your favorite kind of random thing you observed from an opposing team this past season?
Oh boy. From an opposing team this past season. It's a good one, man. I'd say that, I don't even know. I mean, I feel like there were, when I started my career, you know, started as the announcer now 14 seasons ago. I was so nervous and also so like hyper alert about everything going on that I felt like I totally was like recorded in my brain. Like I had my mental DVR working all the time and was just trying to remember every little thing that happened, just because I didn't know if it was going to be the last time I did it or if I'd get another shot, because I just, you know, it's kind of, it was new. I didn't know how long it was going to last. And to say I've reached capacity on my DVR, I reached capacity long, long ago on my mental DVR, but that's another story. But I will say, like, now I over the last couple of years, the things that I feel like I've tended to remember, they're a little bit more, I'll say, like, it's been a little bit more fan based, like where, I mean, look, there was a story. Actually, this is a story of both opposing team and our own Kings. And I mean, there was a guy that played for us, by the name of Isaiah Thomas, who was obviously one of the beloved ones. And you know, many, many people respected and loved Isaiah. And I know on the community side, we loved working with Isaiah because he was always up for and open to virtually anything. You know, whenever we would roll him an opportunity, he'd always be down. If he was available, if he, you know, if he was always open to do it. And don't get me wrong, this will surprise a lot of people. DeMarcus is very much the same way. You give DeMarcus an opportunity to do something really special for someone, that guy doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't flinch one bit. He will absolutely do it. So we're in a fortunate position, and especially with the roster, even the other additional guys that we've had, Karan and Omri's always been spectacular. Ben is amazing, as witnessed by his winning the Community Assist Award for December last season. I mean, so we have this really great roster of guys that just do great things and want to do good. But this one story where we had Isaiah up at an appearance up in Roseville, and on the way back, we kind of pitched him this little idea where I had been contacted by this woman. She was an older, you know, a little bit older woman, and her mom was very elderly, was 97 years old, I believe, at the time, when she reached out and just said, hey, you know, my mom is a huge Kings fan. She's a even bigger Isaiah Thomas fan, and she's not doing well. She's 97 years old. She's as smart and quick as a, you know, sharp as a tack, but obviously her body failing her a bit, and they didn't know how long she had. So she said, you know, they kind of did the whatever you can do, if there's anything you can do. And we get lots of those. You know, I'll say we're in the position to receive lots of those, and we wish she could do something for everyone, but it just doesn't always work out. But in this case, we kind of told Isaiah that story, and we kind of said, do you want to, we know where she lives, and she lives with her daughter, and she just, you know, kind of lives upstairs in a bedroom in a hospital bed, and so would you want to swing by? And Isaiah, it wasn't even a second, it was absolutely, let's go. So we kind of routed our car and we're headed there. Isaiah says, you know, kind of pumps us, the community relations department, how funny that we didn't think of this. He says, hey, we should stop and get something. Let's get some flowers or something to take her. To which I'm like, you're hired. Well done. Nice job. So we stop at Safeway in Natomas and get a bouquet of flowers. And we go and knock on the door. The daughter opens the door with Isaiah standing there and, you know, proceeds, as you can imagine, to lose her mind that Isaiah Thomas is standing. And we have a small group, a really small group of people kind of with us. And so he proceeds to go upstairs. She's laying in her hospital bed, TV's on. She's wearing, I'm not kidding you, I swear to God, she's wearing an Isaiah Thomas t-shirt, like the IT Factor t-shirt, if you remember those. Yeah. And you know, she's probably, you know, she weighs, she's a small, small woman, but like, you know, like her daughter said, was just sharp as a tack. Isaiah walks in the door. She sees him and she says, oh, I knew you'd come to see me. And I mean, just totally hams it up, calling him her boyfriend. I mean, just come sit with me. Come, let's talk. Isaiah sits there for 20 minutes. And they talk mostly about basketball and about, I mean, she watches every game, sometimes will watch games multiple times. And Isaiah's just hamming it up with her and loving every second of it, you could tell, and gives her the flowers and gives her a big hug. We're there for half hour and we take off and feeling really good about what just happened. Isaiah was all smiles and loved it. And so fast forward, Isaiah obviously gets traded, heads over to Phoenix. And when he's with Phoenix, I reach out to him and told him that the woman, had passed away, just a couple months after we had gone there, and the family was going to be coming to the Phoenix game and wanted to say thank you to him one more time because of what his visit meant to them as a family. The last couple months were obviously very difficult, and he gave the family something to talk about and think about that wasn't, you know, their sweet mom suffering in a bed. And so it changed the entire dynamic, the entire family dynamic over those last couple months, and they just wanted to tell Isaiah, thank you. So I told him that. I relayed a message to him, and he was like, yeah, cool. Let me, you know, I'll stop by and say hi to him when I'm at the game. So Phoenix rolls in. Everybody, I can't find Isaiah. Like, he's in the locker room getting ready. I try to get back there and I can't find him. The daughter and her husband and kids are all there. They just want to say something to Isaiah, and I can't find him at all. So game's about, like, we're now in the countdown clock. Like, both teams about warming up. Like, we probably have 9, 8, 7 minutes before the horn blows for national anthem. It is like go time, game time. So I'm like, well, shoot, I'll just figure something out later. I'll try to get Isaiah to stick around and I'll connect them up. So Isaiah all of a sudden comes darting over to me. He's like, hey, what's up, dude? And I'm like, hi. He's like, hey. He's like, where are they? And I'm like, dude, Isaiah, you can't do that now. Like, there's 6 minutes on the clock. He's like, no, just tell me where they are. Where are they? And I'm like, okay, if you look over there, section 104, right across, about seven rows up, they're sitting there. She's the one, and, you know, I described them and the kid. He's all, okay. So I watch him. He walks full uni, right? Outfit, warm up, the whole nine yards with a ball in his hand. He walks into the stands, walks up like 7, 8 rows across. They don't even see him coming. Crosses are down, walk like, excuse me. I'm Isaiah Thomas. Excuse me. Walks over people's left and goes up and taps him on the shoulder, says hi, big Isaiah Thomas smile, hug. They obviously tell him thank you. And, you know, everybody's all smiles, and he comes back and finishes warming up. And I get the most amazing email a couple days later from that family just saying, like, they can't believe that he and we were able to kind of make that happen. And you know, kind of now take it. I mean, obviously Isaiah is amazing, and he was so fun to do those things with. Like I said, we have so many that do those things without anybody knowing it, and we don't talk about them as much as we probably could or should. But I'll say this, like, that's where the job I get to do on a daily basis, it's so special. Like, we're able to really to touch so many people, like, and any time you can do these, you know, rallies, reading events where thousands of kids are, you know, getting something from the Kings and increasing their literacy and or being more active and fit. Like, that's great when you could take those things to scale and when you can do, you know, touch thousands of lives. But man, that whole thing, that whole experience, you know, I joke with our staff, like, that cost us $61 for flowers to make that entire thing from Roseville to Isaiah walking up and greeting the family in the stands. It cost us, the entire thing cost us $61 to do. And the memory that's going to be everlasting on that family is priceless. And so, like, we are always in the business of looking for those kinds of opportunities to make these special moments happen. And when you have guys like that, when you have guys like Cuz and Karan and Omri and Ben, it's really easy to do that kind of stuff. And that's what's so exciting, is looking forward to doing more of that. Because, man, you talk about a guy, Vlade Amnesia, that's second nature to them. That's how they've, that's the only way they know kind of being a professional, is doing those types of things for people. So there's a little bit of a, I guess that's kind of a that kind of touched on all aspects maybe of player, opposing player, Kings player, a little bit of community, little feel good, warm, fuzzy stuff, and why I love my job so much. So
no, that's a fantastic story. And I mean, I don't have anything that can come close to that, but you mentioned, you know, Vladdy and Pajan, kind of the way that they approach community outreach too. And I mean, the one interaction I ever had, it wasn't even really an interaction, but the one time I ran across Paige in Sacramento was at the movie theaters in Roseville. He and Hito were trying to go to the movies. And, of course, they walk into the lobby at it was the United Artists up there in Roseville. They tower over everyone, and it was during the Kings' heyday, so everyone immediately recognized him. And pretty much the entire lobby was full of people just surrounding him. And I left after probably like 20 minutes, so I don't know if they ever got to go to a movie or not,
right.
But I mean, they were just standing there, you know, shaking hands, talking to people, and just looked happy as could be to be doing it. And I'm sure all they wanted to do was go see, you know, whatever awful movie was out in 1999, but
of course,
you know,
they were out, those guys were out a lot. And, you know, that's something that I think that, they will help to reinstill and reinvigorate in this new team. I mean, although, you know, the NBA has changed a little bit, you know, where not as many guys are living in the cities and in the areas that, for sure year round. I mean, we kind of have a special situation with Bobby Jackson living here, with Brad Miller now living here again in Sacramento. But you know, it's not a real common occurrence anymore. But for those guys to be able to get out, and whether it's going to a farmer's market or going to a movie or going to a restaurant, I mean, those things make huge differences, people, and with our legion of fans. And it's something, you know, that I think that we will see a lot more of with kind of the new culture of the Kings.
What I always think is funny is whenever this kind of topic comes up in threads on Sacktown Royalty is that it seems like everyone has some story where they ran across a Kings player out in the community, just out, you know, at the grocery store or at a restaurant or anything. And I mean, everyone seems to have some sort of story, and I don't know how many NBA cities that's true for.
I know. That's where I love hearing Chris Granger talk about that as well as anyone, is, you know, and he's traveled at his time with Teambo, with the NBA, and, I mean, you know, there's not a professional sports city that he hasn't been in, and he still to this day, a couple, 3 years in, will say, you know, that Sacramento is just different. There's just something different here, and it's different, special, and you know, that's just something we're never gonna lose. And I'm so thankful that we're never gonna lose it, and I'm just so excited that, you know, with seeing this movement, this forward progression, and things happening, going in the right direction, with the product on the floor getting better and getting more, you know, a lot more exciting, and a lot of people anticipating what's going to happen. I mean, it's just a really special time. You know, I don't want to plan the route yet, but boy, there's some really cool things happening.
So the season's still a little ways away. So I know that this is still kind of, I mean, off-season's a great opportunity for you guys with the community events and, you know, the Sacramento Kings Foundation and all that. So what's coming up in the near term?
Yeah, we've had a pretty busy summer. A lot of people are, you know, will assume, oh, hey, no games. So you get to, what are you doing? You get to golf all the time, or you get to, what, you lay on a beach and, you know, read all the most current pronunciation guides available. Like, what do you do? And, I mean, so, but we, I mean, and the entire organization goes into, you know, this incredible planning process, getting ready in many cases for the release of the schedule. I mean, that's when, once we have that schedule that comes out usually kind of end of July, early August, I mean, as soon as that thing hits, the frenetic energy of planning energy jump like 10 notches. And so we have been, we have spent on the community side a ton of time this summer, starting all the way back really in April and May, trying to focus in a little bit more on where we want to turn the dial. So we spent a lot of time, got a lot of feedback and input from fans, from non-fans, from Sacramentans, from the nonprofit community, from, obviously from our ownership and stakeholders and executives, you know, of where we want to really make some deeper impacts. So to tighten up our priorities a little bit. Well, I think in years past, I think that we got really wide, really broad. The metaphor we use is we were 17 miles wide and 1 inch deep. And I think that our goal is to get far tighter and a lot deeper. And so for this season, we were excited in May and June to roll out. You know, we're going to focus disproportionately this season on health, on education, and sustainability. Those are three that, you know, they're not groundbreaking. They're not incredibly new and innovative, but what we are going to do within those, I think people are going to really take notice and just feel really proud that they are, you know, that they are a fan of a team that does good things as it relates to those types of priorities. And so we're excited to work within, you know, with schools and with around literacy issues and STEM and some other things on the education front, and leaning into the fact that we have, you know, the fittest, arguably the fittest, most healthy athletes in the world playing on our team, and using that to kind of drive some health initiatives, fitness and eating right. And then the sustainability one is really neat, and that's what really sets us apart, I think, from any others is, you know, we are living in the farm to fork capital of the world, where, you know, we keep hearing our executive chef of Golden One Center talk about, you know, that 90% of the food that's served at that arena will come from 150 miles or within from the arena. I mean, that is an insane number and an incredible declaration. And so we're going to do some cool things around that. And whether that's, you know, helping to build urban gardens or teaching kids about, you know, food literacy, about where a carrot comes from and why they should eat that versus a bag of chips. So we're gonna have some fun with that over the next season and beyond, and so that was a really exciting thing that's happened over the course of this summer. We've been able to really get a lot more focused, and where that's led us to is kind of getting everything ready for at the end of this month, at the end of September, we'll have our second annual King's Invitational. So our Sacramento Kings Foundation Invitational, Celebrity Invitational. Last year we had an incredible showing of a couple dozen former Kings, you know, Scott Pollard, John Barry, obviously Bobby and Doug all came back, Reggie Theus, Ralph Sampson. But then we had, you know, Fred McGriff and Marshall Faulk and Dave Stewart even showed up to play a little golf. So it was a really great showing. This year, because, you know, with the nostalgia of our last season, we're sticking Kings. So we're going to have upwards of 20 former Kings back to play golf with our sponsors and people who are playing in the tournament. So, I mean, I'm talking like we're pretty deep to get some of the guys that people love. I mean, from Joe Klein to obviously Ralph Sampson's coming back, John Barry, all the usual suspects. Put a line out to Ostertag. He still hasn't quite committed, but we're excited to have guys like Bonzi Wells, Lawrence Funderburk. I mean, Mike Bibby's coming back. Jay Will is coming back. So it's going to be a pretty insane day. It's pretty much sold out, sold out pretty quickly, as you can imagine, all the money that we're raising at that tournament are going to go. It's going to go towards helping our grants program. We're going to roll out a grants program that fits within those three priorities I mentioned. So it's going to be an amazing day. It's out of Del Paso Country Club, arguably the best course in the Sacramento region. And, it's a great way to kind of get the juices flowing for the season that's just going to start less than a month after that.
So obviously all the proceeds raised are for a good cause. So how much money would Sactown Royalty have to get together for us to get permission to have a drunken Section 214 on the course shouting Joe after every Joe Klein shot.
I'm sure we can work something out. I mean, cool. I feel like we're probably not that far in negotiations yet, but I think we can get there. If it involves, you know, maybe if we just can cut the profanities down a little bit, I think we probably could, because that's we're talking golf etiquette. Like you gotta shave that back a little bit, but I think we can work something out.
Well, and I mean, golf etiquette, only the players are required to wear pants, right? Spectators don't, or because I mean, that could knock out of contention.
Del Paso actually has they're pretty firm their pants policy. So I don't know if they're gonna come off that. We can talk to them. And you know, when we mention that it's Sacktown royalty, I mean, it could very well change, because that is a game changer. I mean, I drop that a lot. Like, hey, it's connected to Sacktown royalty. I'm an avid reader, and it's amazing the doors that open. So I wouldn't totally dismiss it yet.
All right, we'll have our people talk to your people, and I mean, unfortunately for you, our people is mostly just we make Brad do it. So you're kind of in tough shape there, but
nice.
All right. Well, Scott, I appreciate your time. It's always fun having you on the show. Thanks for the stories. I love the Isaiah story, and it's awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing the final lineup for the Kings Invitational and seeing kind of all the former guys there. That'll be a lot of fun. But I would point out, you said you don't just get to spend all summer playing golf, but you're talking about this golf tournament. I saw Bobby Jackson tweeted a picture of you at a golf tournament this last weekend.
It's true.
You know, true. I'm getting mixed signals here, buddy.
I don't know. I gotta do a better job at concealing the truth that is Scott Moak. I'm not doing a good job anymore.
All right. Well, hey, again, appreciate the time, and thanks again for coming on.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of the Sacktown Royalty Show. Of course, you can always check us out on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a rating, leave us a comment, subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Stitcher if you're more an Android user. And of course, go to sacktownroyalty.com, leave us comments, let us know how we're doing, what you like, what you don't like. All of that feedback is very much appreciated. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Get a free audiobook and 30-day trial by signing up at audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty. That's audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty. audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty. It supports the show and supports our sponsor, audible.com.